Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Polarization just keeps getting worse in Washington. It's as bad as they've ever seen it, and it seems to be making Americans very upset.
Impeach 45!
This is politics.
Impeach 45!
Is this where we want to set the bar for future presidents?
Clinton was the worst in history.
It was a vote along party lines that made President Clinton only the...
I'm not for gay marriage.
I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And so does
Barack
John.
Obama nor I support
is the earth flat
this afternoon.
A limousine was set on fire downtown.
It's my
smoke
decision.
Be seen
it's not
a baby.
Child
and protesters hurled
U.S. Navy has had the firm existence of
the
Hey guys, welcome back to Bob and Weave, a podcast where two guys talk shit to each other and occasionally stay on topic.
Yeah, maybe today we'll actually be able to do that, all although right. I have my doubts.
We'll try. We'll try. That voice you heard is Mr. Bob Ruff.
That's me.
And I'm Zach Weaver.
That's
the Weave.
Him.
Yep.
Real quick, Zach, before we get into this week's topic, I do want to follow up on last week. If you listen to or watch the episode with Freddie Miller, we had some discussion about, he said his sister was talking about setting up a GoFundMe for him to get his driver's license back.
Mm-hmm.
After the interview, I spent a couple of hours with Freddie, and really, he really has a soft spot in my heart for him. What he really wants, you know, this kind of internet fandom has created some opportunities for him to make a living. But really, what Freddie wants to do is to get sober. He kind of associates his pot smoking and his drinking alcohol as the reason why he's in the position he's in.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the only way he has to really make a living at all is by going to the dispensaries and kind of becoming the face of pot, which is not what he was looking to do.
Yeah.
And to me, I decided, I think that, and Zach and I together think it's a worthy cause, even though Freddie thinks that it's not, but I really do think it's a worthy cause if we could all pitch in a little bit and help Freddie get his driver's license back.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great thing, and it would help him get started on the right foot again.
Yeah, and you know, we try to do things with purpose around here, and I just really left my conversation with Freddie thinking, man, how cool would it be, instead of just, you know, taking this guy who is funny on TV and having him come be funny on our podcast or these other interviews he's doing and then move along, but to try to actually affect some change in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be amazing if we could come up with the $3,500 that Freddie needs to get his license back so that he can get a job. And he can get his feet back under him and move towards a successful path that he's looking for.
So we made a GoFundMe for him.
That's right. We made a GoFundMe, and the web address to donate to help Freddie get his driver's license back is GoFundMe.com/Freddie Miller. That's GoFundMe.com/Freddie Miller. That's FreddieMiller. And you can donate as little as a dollar, I think, is as low as you can go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of several thousand of you listening right now and watching. So, you know, if we can do that, I think we can set Freddie up to where I think we can genuinely make a positive impact and a change in his life.
And I think that'd be really awesome.
Yep, me too. So, and with that being said, we have a different topic today. We were going to do a political candidate today, but Zach very astutely pointed out that when you're listening to this, which will be next Wednesday for us.
Mm-hmm. Is the day after Super Tuesday.
Right, which means whatever candidate we choose may be completely irrelevant by today.
Yeah, there's like 1,300 delegates that'll be divvied up that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be over for somebody we picked.
Yeah, so where we're at right now when we're recording this last Wednesday for you guys is the South Carolina debate just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like the race is narrowing down to, of course, Bernie Sanders. Looks like maybe Joe Biden. Mayor Bloomberg, and maybe Elizabeth Warren. Pete's kind of on the fringe, and everybody else seems to be falling off.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens on next Tuesday or yesterday for you guys.
Yep.
So instead, We have another topic we want to talk about.
We do. And it's about, and I don't even know how to consider talking about this, but it's about the participation culture in youth sports. And more importantly, the participation trophy.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Everyone gets a trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird topic to talk about because there's a lot of opinions on both sides. And there's a lot of good opinions on both sides.
Yeah, and I'm hoping we're going to be able to cover those. We purposely, when we talked about doing this episode, I told Zach I don't want to know your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want this to kind of come out organically. But I have a hunch we may kind of fall on the same side. So I hope we're able to see the other side of it in this discussion. If not, we'll have to go to some social media discussion and maybe readdress it again.
And I'm totally fine with that.
So I'm going to let you get us started. And how do you want to break this thing down?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is, we'll just talk about it here, is the idea that youth sports, and not just youth sports, but all the way through high school, college, whatever mm-hmm. it is, are giving trophies for participating in an activity. Not just sports, but in an activity. Win, lose, draw, complete failure, whatever it is, you're getting an award for that.
The idea behind it is that we want all these kids to feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want, you know, if they don't win in the competition, whatever the sport is or whatever they're doing, they still get an award, so they still feel like winners is the idea behind it.
Yeah, and there are a lot of, I can see the pro side. I'll come out right now and we'll say it. I'm really not for it.
Yeah, me neither.
But there are a lot of good pros to this,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of which is just that positive reinforcement. And I fall in a weird situation where I have two children. One is younger than the other, which is weird, right?
That's usually weird. How it works.
Oh, I mean, oh fuck.
Not okay. Often are they the exact same age.
Yeah. All right. Well, but they're at two different sporting levels. And yes, that was funny. They're at two different sporting levels where one, I almost feel like participation trophies are okay.
Okay.
And then at the other age level, I feel like they're not okay.
You're talking Sagan, the younger group?
Sagan's group, the younger group.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like it's almost okay. You know, you're bringing it in, you're building that positive reinforcement, and you're showing these kids that, like, by showing up, trying hard, and being part of the team and trying to build teamwork is huge for them in their life.
It's a victory.
It's a victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that should be rewarded on its own.
See, I think there should be something for that. I also, I mean, I'm not a proponent of this, and there's some pretty deep reasons why we'll get into in a minute. But you know, at that age, I think a bigger problem is the coaches. And for youth sports, for those of you that don't have kids, have never coached little kids, Zach and I both have.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coaching Parker's wrestling right now. I've coached him in baseball. I've coached him in soccer. Coached my other son in football and baseball. And it's tough, but there's a lot of politics that goes on, especially in these small towns, about who gets to be the coaches. But I feel like a good coach, what I always tried to do, can achieve that sense of victory for their participation by, and our head coach on the wrestling team right now is very, very good about that, you know, because wrestling does not do this.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's one of the few
right.
sports that does not. If you don't win, you don't get anything.
Exactly.
But Tony, our head coach, really makes an effort to make the kids feel special. He finds their victories,
mm-hmm.
right? So, hey, you got beat, but you made it out of the first period this time. That's a win. Mm-hmm. Or you didn't get pinned this time. You know, you're doing better. We're improving. You know, you work this one move that you haven't worked before. And I think if coaches could do that, we could eliminate the necessity to give ribbons or trophies or medals to everybody mm-hmm. when they didn't actually win the event.
No, I agree. I definitely agree with it. I think a good coach goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I do see some of the pros in this, you know, and I wrote a list down. I got a whole list here because I was trying to.
Let's see it, prepared guy.
I'm trying to be prepared.
I have nothing.
Sometimes I'm not prepared, but today I'm trying to be prepared. you know, one of the things that I do see that it does, it builds that excitement for kids. And again, this is what I'm talking, this like six and under group.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I feel like they're okay.
Okay.
Is it builds that excitement for the kids. They get something. You know, it also encourages them to return next year. Like, it shows them at the end of the season, look, I did something. I want to come back and do this again. Now, again, a good coach can do that just as well.
If you found with Sagan at all or Maddox when he was that age, because I have found this with both Parker and Quentin, that they find their little whatever they get at the end of the season to be worthless.
You know, my kids seem to be pretty proud of their trophies.
See, Parker got like a trophy at the end of like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And Quentin, especially, I remember from both baseball and football, he'd get a little trophy or a medal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Quentin specifically saying, like 6 years old, he's like, I don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I didn't do anything for this. Like, this means nothing. I don't even want this in my bedroom.
Yeah. And that's a big thing with it. It kind of devalues
mm-hmm.
performance.
Right. Yeah. Before I start going the other way, I want you can go ahead and finish going through your list of the pros.
Well, to answer you, yeah. I mean, I feel like my kids are pretty proud of their trophies. However, I do know that my children know the difference in their trophies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my children are a lot more proud of their wrestling trophies or their wrestling medals.
Medals, right.
And they're a lot more proud of their championship hockey trophy.
Right.
Because that was another sport that gives them for winning.
Right.
You know, and that's something that, and I know he's one of our listeners, is actually the president of the board of the hockey that my kids play in.
Uh-huh.
That's a big deal. They do give participation trophies to the whole league.
Right.
But when you get to the higher, they give winners trophies.
A bigger trophy
that says
right.
champion, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. and my kids are really proud of that.
Right.
So they know the difference.
I feel like what we're not doing is we're not teaching our kids how to lose.
Yeah.
And how to be good losers. And I think there's a lot of bigger life lessons that aren't being taught because of it. But I'm realizing as I'm saying this again, that I'm still not letting you get through the pros because I got all kinds of cons.
No, I do too. Trust me, I do too. Another thing that it does is it rewards them for trying their best.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids are going to go, you know, anybody that knows my children and you can see if you look on social media, my youngest is a savage. That right. kid can play any sport, can pick it up right now mm-hmm. and is good at it.
Right.
Now he's going to go out and play on a team and he might be the best one on the team, but the team might be horrible.
Right.
So that's not necessarily his fault. He did his best to do what he could do for that team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't want to not reward him for trying.
Right. But there's also something to be said about learning how to be on a team
mm-hmm.
and learning that it's not all about you, but it's about the team as a whole. And because that's one thing I see with my stepdaughter with like her travel softball and travel volleyball and stuff, where there seems to be a huge disconnect with those girls about the team. It's like all they really care about is how well they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to even care if they win or lose. It's about, you know, how well did I do? And we didn't have that, you know, when I was. And again, as we pointed out, I'm not 150 years old, as Zach has said.
Yeah.
But we are
72.
We are 6 years apart. And I feel like the shift from when you didn't get the participation awards and when you did was right between you and I.
It was. So actually, participation trophies, and I had to look this up. Were around since the 20s,
uh-huh.
which people don't realize. They've been around a long time.
Right.
Just not to the scale they are now.
Right.
And it really changed in the 90s, like the early 90s is when that changed. And that's where a lot of like the pay for play came in.
Right.
Where your parents are now paying for you to play. And then they're trying to reward this and they're trying to build it up more. You know, the leagues are trying to make money.
Right.
So they're trying to find a way to encourage parents to sign kids up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of where that came from.
Must have been, you know, because I was born in 79, so most of my youth sports were in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
By the early 90s, you know, I'm into middle school and high school by then, where you don't have so much of the participation awards. But my youth sports were in the 80s, and there wasn't. Like, we didn't, in like, Little League, I remember, you know, there were trophies. There was a big trophy for first place in the league,
mm-hmm.
and a smaller one for second, and a ribbon for third. And the rest of the teams didn't get shit.
I found out the other day, to be 100% honest, I still have a T-ball trophy from 1992.
No shit.
Yeah. I saw it the other day.
Was it a championship trophy or I showed up trophy?
It was I showed up trophy. Because
mm-hmm.
I think when I played T-ball, we had one T-ball team.
Right.
And you just hit the ball and ran and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah. One of the other pros is that it encourages these kids to actually be part of a team. You
uh-huh.
know, if they're being rewarded, it encourages them to come in. And at a young age, they're building social skills that they wouldn't build otherwise.
Right.
You know, so it does have some positive, lifelong lasting effects. Now, granted, as I'm saying all these pros, I want you to know I'm playing that side of the fence right now.
Right.
You know, that's not necessarily my opinion, but I want to play this side of the fence with
you.
Well,
and they're not wrong. I mean, they're not, it's not incorrect that these are good elements of this.
But I feel like there are a lot of cons that come into play with these.
I think we have a generation of kids coming up that are, for lack of a better term, are a little fucked up in a lot of ways. They're a lot more enlightened in a lot of ways too.
Yeah.
I think the generation that, I mean, the millennials and whatever the next, what our little ones aren't millennials, are they? What are they?
I don't know what our little ones are.
But whatever they are, they, you know, they get a bad rap for a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Deservedly so, I think.
So if you look at where I'm actually considered a millennial. I am like the front end of the millennial. So I like the zennial term, which right. is like another term that basically my generation, my age group brought up so uh-huh. that we're not millennials.
This is going to separate you from them.
But if
them.
You actually look, we're millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a joke that we're elder millennials.
Right. And so I'm a Gen Xer
mm-hmm.
by a couple of years. But you know, they get a bad rap. And like I said, deservedly so in a lot of ways. And when I was in the fire service, I hired, you know, young kids. And mm-hmm. then I was, you know, even when I was in, you know, the job I was in the longest, I wasn't hiring people, but I was responsible for training people and supervising a lot of these right out of high school, 18-year-old kids. And it was like, over the last few years I was there, it was the attitude of these kids that would come into this fire department. I mean, when you're going into a paramilitary organization, we have a rank structure.
Yeah.
And people are relying on you for their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them to do something and they tell their lieutenant, you can't tell me what to do. It's like, what? Who raised you?
Yeah.
Why has no one ever told you no, ever?
Well, that's one of the biggest cons that I see right mm-hmm. off the top is it promotes entitlement.
Right.
I mean, you're giving these kids that entitlement. You're giving them something for showing up and not doing anything.
Right.
You know, the kids that show up and literally do nothing get the same exact thing that the kids that show up and try their hardest.
Right.
So you're rewarding them for just being there
mm-hmm.
and you're devaluing that performance of those kids that are really trying.
Right. And to me, it takes away a lot of the desire to try.
It really does.
You know, I worry about just our country in general in the next generation. We have, you know, some of the good sides of the millennials, you know, and our younger ones that are coming up is they're so damn smart.
Yeah.
I mean, not just with technology, but in a lot of ways, I mean, they just, the world's at their fingertips and they're just smart and they're going to do great things. But I tell you what, I don't see in that generation the drive to work or do anything that we see in my generation and certainly not my parents' generation. And that's, to me, this takes away their drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't matter if I fight really hard and win. Because I'll get the same thing anyway.
Well, you have that lack of accountability.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's just no desire. You don't have that motivation, that fire in you
right.
to want to do it.
Well, yeah. And I think that the biggest thing for me is, as I mentioned earlier, it doesn't teach them how to lose.
Yeah, failure is a huge thing.
Right.
I mean that is one of the biggest things in life is failure and learning how to fail.
Right.
Coping with it and moving forward.
How to fail gracefully.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And be a good loser. And that's, you know, it's one of the things that I think has been so advantageous to Parker in doing youth wrestling that he's doing right now. He's brand new. He gets beat most mm-hmm. of the time. I mean, he's won 5 matches this year, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thrilled with it. But he gets beat a lot of the time. And he's had to learn to, when he gets beat, to get up, dust himself off, learn from what just happened. What could he do differently in the next one? Shake that man's hand or that boy's hand that just beat him mm-hmm. or girl or whoever it is. There's a lot of girls that wrestle too. And then move on to the next match. And he's had to do that. And he's had to walk away from tournaments without medals.
Yeah. And you know what? That's not to sit here and promote wrestling, but that is one of my favorite aspects of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
They shake hands before they wrestle.
Yep.
They shake hands when they're done.
And it's brutal.
And yeah, it's brutal. I mean,
when you take something as full on hand-to-hand combat with two mm-hmm. little kids, you know?
Yeah.
And you know they're physically one on one, trying to get the other one onto their back, and when it's over with, they stand up and shake the other person's hand and come off the mat. I'll promote it all day long. You know, I got Parker into wrestling. I was a wrestler in high school, mm-hmm. but I never thought about putting him in until you put Maddox and Sagan in. And with Parker, my son has severe ADHD, and he struggles with all team sports because he just can't focus on everything. And I was like, you know, maybe this would be good for him. And I'll tell you what, it's been amazing for him.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, for his confidence level. You know, and the thing is, because he's taken a lot of beatings
mm-hmm.
and he's walked away from a lot of tournaments without a medal, when he wins, he comes off the mat like he's 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Because he's earned it.
Yeah, he earned it. And I told you before, you know, it's affected him when he's come home afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first day that he pinned a kid in one tournament, but the next tournament he was in, he had four matches. He won two of them, hard-fought matches. He wrestled really well. People were just telling like, wow, I can't believe your improvement. You're doing so well, Parker. I'm impressed. He came home that day, and he was attached to the hip of me. I had to go to the store. He wanted to go with me. He wanted to carry things for me in the store, and I was out burning papers in the back and burning some wood, and he came out, and he's just showing me how, you know, I can carry this, Dad, and he's carrying big tools, and it's just to watch a kid, especially if any of you have kids with ADHD who, you know, they're in trouble all the time.
Yeah.
At school, at home, you know, we try really hard to try to be positive with him, but man, he's a handful, you mm-hmm. know, especially in the evening time. And so they're constantly being told how they're not doing things well. And for him to take a sport and not do it well, but then start to get it and start to improve, and all of a sudden he does a few things right. He didn't walk away with a medal, but he won two matches. He got the better of two kids,
mm-hmm.
and people told him he did a great job. And just like when he lost, he went and shook their hands. They got to raise his arm up, and it made a massive difference to him because it built that confidence. And you know, he's got two more tournaments this year, and I'm hoping he can get up and get a medal in one of those. And if he does, that medal is going to mean more to him than any trophy he ever got playing any other sport.
Yeah. So to back up for just a second here, when you started wrestling season, did you have a talk with Parker? Because I know I had a talk with my children about wrestling and about losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I sat them down and I said, guys, this was the night before our first tournament. And I said, guys, we're going to go into this tournament tomorrow and we're probably going to lose.
Right.
And that's okay. We're new to this, but that's how you're going to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to go in and we have to be okay with losing. Now, that doesn't mean to go out there and lay down.
Right.
We're going to go out there and give it our best shot. But at the end of the day, we're probably going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So with Parker, I told him, you know, wrestling's a weird sport. It's not like, because these kids, I'm telling you, man, that generation just doesn't care so much. I'm not generalizing everyone, but you know, as a majority from what I've experienced, they don't care about the team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're playing Little League, there's a couple kids on the team that are really good, and it's a win for them if they hit a home run.
Yeah.
Even if the team loses, they don't care. Where with wrestling, and I tell them, it's like, it's when you go out on that mat, Parker, it's you and one other person. And every single time that happens, one of you is going to win, one of you is going to lose, and it's not going to be you being the winner every time, and that's mm-hmm. okay. You need to know that you're going to lose. Nobody has a perfect record. You're mm-hmm. going to lose some, and he's handled it exceptionally well.
Well, and the way you look at a wrestling tournament, there's only one kid that's coming out a winner.
Right.
Period. It doesn't matter how many kids are in your bracket. There's one kid that comes out a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else loses.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Unless you're first place, even if you take second or third mm-hmm. or fourth and get a medal,
mm-hmm.
you lost at least one match.
Yep.
You know, you had to.
So do you think this is a result of like overprotective parenting?
I don't know what it's a result of. And I hate to, honestly, you wouldn't think this is a real firecracker topic, but it makes me a little nervous now because the reasonings behind it, I think they fall into, they lead you right back down the road of what becomes political ideology
mm-hmm.
and gets very divisive. And so I don't want to go there too far, but I think it's like socialism for sports.
Okay.
To me, you know what, where it's, you know, everybody gets the same, mm-hmm. everybody gives their best effort. And everybody gets the same. Even if you don't give your best effort, if you show up and sit on the bench and do nothing, you still get the same thing. And that's hard to not offend anybody with this. So I guess I'm just not going to go there. But I don't think it's a good thing. I want for me. I can speak for me and my children. I want them to experience losing. I want them to learn how to lose gracefully and win gracefully. And know what both of those things feel like. And I want them to look at a goal. And, you know, Parker and I, we talk and set goals for every tournament. And you know, after, you know, he had, you know, first couple, he didn't win anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, hey, the one where he got his first pin, our goal that day was, I want you to make it, let's try to make it out of the first period in one of your matches. So when you wrestle, you got 3 1-minute periods at this age group. And he'd been pinned in the first period in every match he'd wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is our goal. Let's just try to make it out of the first period. If we make it out of the first period, we accomplish our goal. And he was dead set to do that, and they actually ended up pinning again.
Yeah,
you know, and then the next tournament it was, well, let's try to not get pinned in at least one of your matches. Let's just try not get pinned. Either you win or lose, or whatever, but see if you can just stay off your back. You know, because if you lose by points, whatever.
Yeah.
And but just teaching, just giving him something to work towards, and then to feel the confidence and the excitement when he reaches that goal, but also to understand how to deal with it when he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is missing. And that's what I think it's a part of what is kind of messing up this younger generation and their work ethic, because they've always, they're entitled, man. I taught college for years. And had a lot of, you know, obviously right out of high school kids that would come into the college, and it'd be amazing. I don't need to do my homework, and oh, I didn't turn it in. I had like a makeup homework policy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't tell me to make it. I'm like, it's because that's your job.
Yeah.
I'm not your babysitter. And then I literally had 18, 19, 20-year-old kids bring their mothers into the college to talk to me about their grades, not because they didn't like the way I assessed something they did, because they didn't do something. And they flunked the class because they didn't do a project, and they thought that was ridiculous. And their mothers came in to talk to me to tell me how ridiculous it is. Well, he's uncomfortable doing that, so he shouldn't have to do that.
Yeah, which again stems back to the parents.
This is college for firefighters.
No,
So when we're talking about being uncomfortable, it's 1,000 fucking degrees where we work.
Yeah.
It's always uncomfortable.
So I really go back and forth on this. You know, as a parent, I want them to earn it. I want them to, if they get an award, I want it to be because they earned it. But then on the other side, I have this like weird empathy.
Right.
That I feel like maybe there are times that it's necessary, you know, and that's, how do you draw that line? That's the thing. It's like, we've talked about it. You said you coach, I'm currently coaching floor hockey, but I've coached baseball. I've coached football. Right. I've helped with wrestling. You know, I mean, we've coached it all.
Right.
And I see these kids that like, they really could, this could really help them by having this, even though it's a participation trophy, you know, they go out and they tried hard, you know,
right.
And they're not good athletes or they're not whatever, but it could really build some self-esteem for them.
Sure. The problem is it's just not a perfect world, because I do see the pros in some of those regards. And I look at it as me as a coach, for example, in baseball. One thing that I did have control over was after every game, win or lose, we had the game ball. And somebody on the team earned the game ball. And throughout the season, the way I would do it was to find a kid that hadn't gotten a game ball before and find a reason, find a victory to give. So you're not just giving it to him. You're not just saying, hey, kid that sat at the bench and didn't do anything all day, you win a ball. But you know, the day where a kid, say he's struck out every time he's ever been up, and this time he hit a little ground ball and got thrown out at first.
But he made contact.
You know, it's like, hey, today's game ball goes to little Billy, because you know Billy, you had a rough, you know, and I'd give him that little speed. I mean, we coached together a couple times. You know, it's like, you know, you've had a tough year. You keep trying, and man, you stood up there. And you swung that bat and you hit the ball and put it in play for the first time this year, so you get the game ball. And we kind of trained our kid. The kids learned, like, let's all make that a big deal. You know, and the kids would all cheer him on, like, good job, Billy, you know. And so even though, so he got that little victory. He got that little thing. The problem is every coach isn't going to coach like you or I do.
Yeah.
And every parent's not going to parent like you or I do. And so I definitely see the point for the kid that has very non-supportive parents, a very non-supportive coach, that just doesn't get a win.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's all he gets for his wins. I get that. I do get it. I just, man, as a whole,
it's hard. It's a harder topic than people realize.
As we're talking it through, I'm kind of backing off some of that. So I'm glad that we are looking at both sides of it.
No, and that's a big thing for me, is to try to look at both sides of it. Now, right. I know how I feel, and I know how I want to bring it to my children, but that doesn't work for every child.
Right.
You know, and as I said before, like, my, you know, and I apologize if he's listening, but my youngest is a better athlete than my older one. It is what it is.
Right.
My youngest is going to get all sorts of awards.
Right.
Through his life. My oldest might not. So how do you take care of that, you know? But I really want him to, when he does earn that, understand that he earned that.
Right. It's tough. You know, I know my kid's listening because he's the one that edits our videos. Yeah. So, but Quentin tried, God bless him. He tried every sport there was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not his thing. He's not an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I was a big athlete. You know, so it, you know, I was really encouraging him to get into all of them. And when he said he didn't want to do them anymore, it's, you know, there's part of me that's like, no, just keep going.
Yeah.
But at some point, I realized that's just not his passion. He's not super athletic. But what he is, we look at his other talents. He is, I mean, he's 15 years old. And if you guys, for those of you that watch the YouTube videos, watch the job he does. I mean, there's his talent. You know, maybe he can't hit a 70 mile an hour fastball. But he can edit the shit out of a video. He can play the shit out of a trumpet or a ukulele.
Clever as fuck, too.
Yeah. Like, super smart kid.
Yeah. Oh, that kid says some shit sometimes. It cracks me up.
Yeah. I want to stop patting his back because he's going to run inside and say, I love you, daddy.
Damn it, Quentin.
Yeah. But you know, that's the thing is he can play the trumpet. He can play the piano. He's very musical. He's very artistic.
Mm-hmm.
Smart kid. Great with technology. And it's just sports weren't his thing. So it's somewhere else. So now where Parker is more athletic.
But let me stop you for a second. He's still getting his victories.
Right.
You know, he's in band.
Right.
And they just went to state. You don't go to state for any reason. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you have to earn to go to state. So it's not just sports.
Yeah.
But he's still earning his victory.
Right. And they didn't get a trophy because they didn't place high enough.
Exactly.
When they went to state. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now Parker is more athletic. But now Parker's got the ADHD.
Yeah.
He has a hard time focusing. Sports are hard for him, even though he's super, like, he'll come walking out of his bedroom with his shirt off at 9 years old, and it's like, good Lord, man, he's ripped six pack, and he's just built like that.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, he's still working on harnessing his mind power to be able to play those sports better. I honestly lost my train of thought where I was going other than, you were saying that Maddox is, you know, that Sagan's maybe a better athlete than Maddox is. And I have the same thing. But you know, I don't want to, is Quentin, so Quentin's my oldest, in the scenario you're in. So Parker, Quentin did try wrestling in mm-hmm. seventh grade. He wrestled the whole year. He won one match. And it was a huge victory. And it was awesome. Decided he didn't want to do it anymore. He struggled with it. Well, now Parker's first year, he's already won five matches. And so you think that'd be tough for the other kid to watch. He's getting praised and he's already got a medal and he's you know, doing well, you know, for a beginner. But it's cool for me to watch. Quentin will sit there and listen to him. Parker will drive you nuts with a story. You know, he will. But, you know, for Quentin will listen to him tell a story. Oh, good job, Parker. That's awesome. You know, and as a parent, and this is, I guess, getting back to in that perfect world. For me, I'm sure that Quentin sees, okay, well, Parker's getting praised for something that I tried to do and wasn't great at. Parker's really getting a lot of praise for, and I didn't get that. But as a parent too, I'm aware of that. So I'm where does Quentin deserve praise?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is he doing? You know, he's like I said, artistic. He's musical. He's editing these videos. He's doing things. So keep that balance. But the problem is, not every parent is doing that.
You're 100%
that's,
right.
And those are the kids. And we see those kids. Mm-hmm. We've coached those kids.
Absolutely.
Where you know they just don't have a support system at home.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I guess for those kids, that participation trophy is probably a bigger deal than we think. We have kids that have a very strong support system at home.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think it's bullshit. Don't give my kid a trophy if he sucks at a sport.
Yeah.
Because I want him to learn how to lose, and I want him to know when he gets it. My grandma used to play gin rummy with my grandma,
mm-hmm.
and sorry and whatever. She would never let us win, and she always told us, I will never, ever, ever let you win at anything, because I want you to know when you beat me, you really beat me.
Yeah.
And I think that was good for me. But again, that's in the way I'm raising my kids.
Yeah. With that being said, I did that the other day to Maddox. We were playing a stupid game,
uh-huh.
and I let him win. And then when he beat me, I tried to beat him the next time, and he still kicked my ass. So.
Right. But see, I'll never do it. And Quentin would talk about that. I don't play as many board games with Parker as I used to with Quentin when he was little. But I would beat him, and he's like, could you just let me win one time? I was like, no. Screw you.
No.
You mess with the bull, you get the horns, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you beat me, you beat me.
So where is there an effective level for this? So, and here's my thought process that I see is my kids play floor hockey like we talked about before. They're playing literally right now, you know, we've had several games. Like, we have a game this weekend. They play in a league, and regardless of how they do, they're going to get a trophy.
Right.
Now, like I said, if they win the league, they're going to get a bigger trophy that says champion.
Right.
And it is something to play for, but they're going to get a trophy. But we know that. But my kids also play travel floor hockey, which I know sounds ridiculous to some people until you realize how big it is.
Right.
And we go
especially around here. I don't know if it's just a Midwest thing or if it's all over.
I don't know if it is either, but we play, I mean, huge tournaments. We just played a big state tournament. That's, you know, teams from all over the state, and you don't get anything if you win.
Right.
I mean, unless you win, you don't get anything.
Right.
So we have both worlds. We have that understanding of, like, this is for the kids that maybe need it. And this is for that higher level that needs to be pushed.
Right.
You know, is there a separation there, or is that not good to divide them either?
Right.
Like, I have a ton of questions about this. Same thing with age. Like I said earlier, I think that, like, my youngest, you know, six and under, I think participation trophies are probably a great idea. It gives them something, even though they know down, or, you know, we know, and they're going to know down the road that it's crap. But as a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old, they have a shiny thing to show off,
right?
That they're proud of, you know. And then past that, they start to devalue it. Kids start to understand that it doesn't mean anything. Like you said, Quentin, right away said, "I didn't earn this."
Right.
You know, it loses its effectiveness. So could you draw a line in the sand there as age? I mean, I don't know.
The tricky part is with this, with a lot of things, is as I'm sitting here thinking, what's the solution, right? And there's no good one solution.
No, there's not.
As with a lot of things. So, like, it's kind of like legislating, right? It's hard to make a law that fits all circumstances. And this is the same thing. So I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if it has to be one or the other, knowing that neither is perfect, and I guess this is a question I'll pose to you. I have an opinion on it too, but I'll let you go first. If it has to be one or the other, either everybody gets a trophy, or it's back to like when I was a kid where you only get a trophy or medal if you win. It's got to be one or the other. Which one would you choose and why?
That's tough, you know. And again, it goes back to the two Zachs. You know, there's me as a parent that's coaching athletes and growing up as an athlete, that I'm that one that I'm like, I don't want my kids to get something unless they earned it.
Right.
I want them to earn it. And I would probably lean that way. But then again, I have that empathetic Zach that's like, everybody needs to be taken care of. And I'm the guy that cries watching YouTube videos of kids that, right, the My Wish kids and the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but if I had to pick one, I would probably lean towards, like, you only get something if you win.
So you think that's where you would land? If you had to go one or the other?
I mean, it's tough. It's tough, but that's probably where I would land.
So I'm the same way. I definitely certainly see both sides, and I don't fault anybody that disagrees with me on this, because I definitely see the other side of it. But if I had to pick one, I think I would go to, you have to win to get a trophy. I think overall, for society, as, like, I mentioned, you know, the kids I was teaching in the college, kids that I've coached, people that I've you know, supervised at the fire department, I've seen what this has done as in general. And I think that even though there's going to be some hard knocks in there, I don't necessarily think hard knocks are a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know, so there is going to be the kid who has a shitty support network at home and has a shitty little league coach, and they don't win, and he doesn't get anything, and he doesn't get any praise. And, you know, what I would hope for that kid is that he finds that inner badass, and, you know, boy or girl, whoever it is, and just strives for more, that says, you know what, I need that praise. I want that recognition. I want that fucking trophy, and I'm going to bust my ass to get it.
Yeah.
Not everybody's got the ability to do it. It's not going to be perfect for everyone. But I think in general, we will have a society, a generation coming through our society that values hard work, that knows how to lose, that knows how to be told no. I mean, that's a whole nother topic, because this is minor compared to how we're parenting our fucking kids nowadays. And as coaches, and that's a whole other day, another topic, watching kids interact with their parents and their parents interact with me as a coach, as a teacher, as an employer, and realizing how they're teaching these kids to be so fucking entitled is the bigger issue, I think.
Yeah, the entitlement needs to end.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge issue with this. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with this is that entitlement.
We should talk about entitlement in a future episode sometime because get a guest in here. We're trying to work more on getting guests. We've got another one lined up, I think, or mm-hmm. we're working on lining one up
yep.
here in a few weeks. Did she get back with you?
Yeah. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. She's pretty much in. So
she's pretty much in. So this person will be the most diverse guest that we've had in here.
It really will be.
They can talk about a lot of things, and she's pretty awesome. But someone, because just as this conversation started, I was like, this is no research, no nothing. Like, this is easy. Like, for me, this is very clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
But because you pulled up some of the pros and really got me thinking more about it, which is kind of our point, right? To really open a conversation. I think for as much as I'm saying these kids don't need to be entitled, there's somebody that'll sit there and say, this is what kids need, you know, the nature versus nurture and, mm-hmm. you know, the different. So it'd be cool to have a guest on to counter my opinion. And I'm old school. I'm not denying it. I'm beyond my years. I just come from a place. I come from an old school family. You know, I make my kids go out and do work and shovel shit and burn, you know, help do yard work. It's just where I come from.
You know, and I think when I talk about the two me's and the empathetic, I have a personal story with this that makes me think about this. Is I won't say what team or what season or whatever it was, but I've coached a child that was a foster child.
Uh-huh.
And that award I know meant a lot to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was the only thing he had.
Right.
You know, so that's a big thing for me is like, mm-hmm. I see that. Is even though it wasn't, we didn't win, even though it was just a participation trophy and he wasn't the best player out there, it was his.
Right.
So then I see that, you know, my kids don't need that.
Right.
My kids are, you know, I feel like I'm a decent parent and they play sports and we have sportsmanship and we play the right way and we try to earn it. But then there's kids like that that don't have that, just like you said.
Right. Yeah. Cause we don't live in that perfect world. And I think that's a good note to end this discussion on. We do want to let you guys know that for any of you, I think a lot of our listeners are from our area or not far away.
Oh, we're doing this again.
Yeah. To try to, you know, while Zach wipes his tears and I pretend that I didn't choke up when he was telling that story.
Yeah.
We're going to do something crazy. I think I mentioned it in last week's episode.
You did with Freddie, but we're going to do it anyways.
Yeah. So but this is a thing that's happening. Zach and I have both had on our bucket list something that we've wanted to try for a long time, and that is to try what I like to call standing up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like we haven't officially booked it yet. We'll let you guys know next week, but it sounds like on March 10th, Tuesday, March 10th, at the Drop Comedy Club in South Bend, Indiana, Zach and I are each going to do an open night, open mic set.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
My wife's terrified. What does Michelle think?
She's already known that I want to do it.
Uh-huh.
So it's not she's pretty supportive with it. She knows I want to do it. Yeah. Actually, I think your wife texted my wife.
She did.
And yeah. said, do you know what these idiots want to do? So my wife was like, good Lord, what are they doing now?
Right.
Because that's how we are.
Yeah.
But she's pretty supportive. She knows that I want to do it. And anybody that knows me and anybody that listens, I'm a huge,
right.
That's all I do is I listen to comedy, watch comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I'm a fan of comedy, I am a fan of comedy. Like I study comedy. I love comedy.
So we'll see if you can perform comedy.
Now that doesn't mean I can perform it, right. But I'm going to go up there and
give her hell.
I'll bomb hard.
Right. And you'll learn how to lose.
Exactly.
See, if I lose, I'll do better than you because I didn't get a participation award when I was a little kid.
God damn it.
All right. We're going to wrap this thing up. Make sure, or not make sure, but please, if you'd like to, if you feel compelled to, again, go to GoFundMe.com/Freddie Miller. That's FREDDIE Miller. GoFundMe.com/Freddie Miller. And if you wouldn't mind donating a couple bucks, see if we can all pitch in together and help Freddie get his life back on track, get that driver's license.
And you can also find us on all social media. Just look up Bob Weave Pod at Bob Weave Pod.
Mm-hmm.
It's all you need. Cross social media, you can find us. We'll have that GoFundMe link on a lot of those.
Yep, it's already up on Facebook and Twitter, I think.
So, and the other thing you can do is if you go on Facebook, there's a private group called the Bob and Weave Fan Page.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out.
Yep, please do that. And with all that being said, Zach, thanks for being my friend.
Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. We'll be right back. Bob and Weave is an NBI Studios production, produced and edited by Mike Bussing, music by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com. The artwork and our logo was created by Zach, and the video editing was done by me. You can connect with us on all forms of social media at Bob Weave Pod. And if you'd rather watch than listen, check out the Bob and Weave Podcast on YouTube. If you have any questions or a guest request, you can email us at contact@bobweavepod.com. And if you like the show, please take a minute to go on iTunes and rate and review us. On behalf of myself and Zach, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.